everybody, and welcome to the Mommy Beta podcast. This is episode number 83, and today we have three Mommy Betas on the line. We're really lucky today. We have Jennifer, Alex, and myself, which is Natalie Gafori. We have all kinds of really great birth talk planned today. We're going to talk about the decision to do VBAC or a planned C-section, what kind of things we might need to do to prepare for those things. Do we do a doula? Do we just relax and get our hair done before a C-section? And we're just going to talk a little bit about what you need to do to prepare yourself and your relatives and everybody involved for bringing home that baby number two. So we're going to start with Alex today, and she has made a very important decision. Alex, can you tell us what that is?
Yeah, so I decided to have a planned C-section. And last time I had an emergency C-section, so I'm this one I'm hoping will be a lot different and it will run a lot smoother. And it was kind of a big decision. And I'm a little disappointed, I will say, just because of the six-week recovery period. Just not being able to hold Reese for 6 weeks. I can't imagine what that's going to be like, or at least pick her up.
So I was thinking about that last night because I was thinking about Jennifer and, you know, why she, you know, what's important to her about maybe going with the VBAC, which we'll talk about in a little bit. And I thought, you know, probably a big thing that's playing into that is the being able to pick up Elle. And, you know, obviously that was a big concern for me and it's a big concern for you. So I had this thought. So that ended up not being that big of a deal for me. And here's why, because I realized that I could still hold him. I just had to sit down and he sat on my lap. And I was worried that that would hurt me, and that it didn't. I mean, we had to be a little bit more careful, but I remember there were only probably two times when he wanted me to pick him up that he actually cried because I didn't pick him up. So that's two times in 6 weeks.
Wow. That makes me feel really good because lately Reese has been super clingy, and what we're working on is, as we say, a mom can only pick you up at home. So like when we're out grocery shopping or if we're running an errand and she says, "Mommy, hold me," I say, "Are we at home?" And she goes, "No, only at home." So, well, you know, that works. Well, it works 80% of the time, not all the time.
Yeah. And does he want you to pick him up that much? I mean, Elle probably wants me to pick her up 30 times a day.
It's hard to say. I'd say probably not. He's probably not as into that, or it wasn't at that point. And the other thing was just having other people around. We're like, "Mommy can't pick you up right now, but look, you know, Grandma can," or, you know, some sort of substitution. And that 90% of, or 99% of the time deflected it from me. So even if she does want to be picked up, hopefully, you know, somebody else can pick her up.
Yeah, that's the problem with me, because she doesn't even want to go to Tom. And Dominic and Sean seem to have like a really close relationship. Yeah. And, you know, it's totally fine. But for me, if she starts crying in the middle of the night and Tom goes in there, she's like, "No, Mommy, Mommy, Mommy," you know, right. And he's like, "Well, no, Mommy can't come in when we're working on that." But it's been a struggle. I mean, she prefers Grandma a lot, but yeah, I mean, I that's what I was saying to Alex yesterday. You can still sit down and hold them. Mm-hmm. It was the concern of mine.
Right. Yeah, I can definitely see how that's a big concern. And that was my biggest concern, too, when I was trying to make the decision.
Yeah. So, I mean, the reason I made the decision, I feel like I kind of didn't have a choice because my doctor said, we kind of went through the list of what, you know, if I tried for a VBAC, she was almost certain that it was going to end up in an emergency C-section. And I just, similar to you, Natalie, I didn't want to go that route and be disappointed. At least this way, it's somewhat in my control, unless, you know, I go early and who knows. But at least I can do a little bit of planning. So I decided, instead of being really sad about not, you know, about the recovery time and not being able to pick her up, just focusing on, you know, just what I can control and, you know, not waiting around to go into labor. I've enlisted help from both sets of in-laws, my mom, and just friends, and having meals delivered. So, I loved reading about your family-centered C-section, which I'm planning to do as well.
Oh, terrific. Yeah, I can talk a little bit more about that when we jump over into my birth story. But before we get there, I wanted to talk about Jennifer, and she's considering a VBAC still and has an idea about something that might help her have a successful VBAC. Jennifer, what's that?
Sure. Yeah, it's a doula. You know, I had an hour conversation with one last night, and just talking about the family-centered C-section. She actually had to have a C-section for her second because he was breech. And said that she had done that, but she was overseas when she did that. And she's not that young. So I'm assuming it was like 25 years ago or so. Yeah. So I was pretty surprised with that. But she said, you know, either way, it's, you know, a special experience. The most important thing is happy baby, happy mommy, healthy, mm-hmm. both of you. So, and she and I were just weighing back and forth on, you know, what had happened in my last pregnancy, because I'm still on the fence. I can't make a decision one way or the other. One second I'm like, okay, let's just do the C-section. I know what to expect. My recovery wasn't bad last time. Why am I still considering this other thing? And I don't know. Something just keeps me going back to the VBAC. I'm not one of those diehard natural birth people. And the recovery time, or just the recovery in general, is probably my main reason for wanting to do it. When I made an appointment for my pregnancy, the first appointment they make you take with a midwife, and I went into the room pretty much fully prepared that, you know what, I'm a planned C-section girl. Mm-hmm. Secretly, even with my first baby, I was thinking, oh, geez, C-section would be so much easier. My mom always said C-section babies were prettier because they had the rounder heads and...
I can see your mom saying that.
She totally says that.
It holds the bow much better straight out of the womb if she has a round head.
Yeah, round, cherub, little beautiful very faces. Cute, I mean, if you saw Baby Z's first pictures, I mean, you can know what I'm talking about.
Yes, he did not have the cone head from being pressed down into the birth canal for 27 hours.
Yeah. And so I have always sort of very much been pro C-section. So whenever I was thinking about this, I was in Baby Gap the other day hitting up the after Christmas sales, and a woman stops me and starts talking to me about, you know, how far along I am and my daughter's age. And it sounds like a great gig for her to work at mommy at Baby Gap too. She's a doula, works at Baby Gap on the side. I'm sure she gets a lot of clientele through there.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, right. But I just got this calm feeling when I was talking to her, and I thought, you know what, if I'm really serious about this and I'm serious about doing this, then I do need some extra help. So I had a nice long conversation with her last night about, you know, why I should do it. And the midwife that I had met with the first meeting sat me down, and she's like, there's no reason why you can't have a vaginal birth. She said, just looking at what happened, there's, you know, 70% chance that you can have a vaginal birth, which is just the average of, you know, any woman, I guess. Not any woman, but, you know, the best case scenario. So, I mean, that got the wheels turning and me thinking, well, you know, maybe I should try to go this way, especially if I want to have more kids. I think, Natalie, you said you think you're pretty much done. And I think Natalie Morris, well, she didn't have a C-section anyway, is done. Alex, not so sure. But, you know, the more C-sections you have, the more complications mm-hmm. there are. So anyways, the only thing that puts me off is the rate. It's $1,000. I guess $1,000 versus, you know, a healthy baby.
Yeah, I would, if you're serious, I would definitely, it sounds like you have a really good grasp, but in intuition, I think you should follow that. And money aside, yeah, it's a lot, but if you can afford it, I think you're absolutely right and you should go for it.
Yeah. Yeah, we've been talking a lot about listening to our gut, and, you know, Nat in particular is a huge proponent of that. And if there is that something that's telling you that this is what you should do, then it makes sense to take every step you can to make it happen.
Right. Because, I mean, Natalie, how far along were you in your labor when you got the epidural?
It was a long time, but I wasn't very dilated. I think I was only like 4 centimeters, but it was like... it was like 10, well, from the start of labor, it was at least 12 hours from the start of labor.
With Baby Z?
With Dominic.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I'd probably only been contracting for like 7 or 8 hours, but I was only 4 centimeters dilated.
Yeah.
But then I dilated to 9.5 to 9.5 with the epidural from 4.
That's amazing.
So it didn't slow me down. Mm-hmm. I couldn't finish dilating. I was at 9 for hours, and then I started to go backwards.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I was just curious, you know, how much that time you were walking around or whatever, because I wasn't sure, like, with a doula, how much use they are to me if I just go in and, like, you know, get the epidural, as opposed to, like, okay, you need to go to this position, or you need to get in the shower, or you need to sit on the ball, or...
Yeah, I think if you're using a doula, kind of the idea is that you put off the epidural for as long as you can, and they help you do that. They make it easier for you to put the epidural off because they're better at knowing how to manage your pain. Mm-hmm. And then, because especially with you, the epidural really, you felt like it slowed you down. So it makes sense if you had somebody supporting you and trying to put that off for as long as possible. So hopefully that doesn't happen again.
Right. Yeah.
Ideally, even faster with the epidural.
Yeah. They say that works for some people because they're just not able to release or let go. And Alex, how far in were you in your labor when you had your epidural?
I think I was only 3.5 centimeters dilated. I wasn't dilating. And that was after 6 hours. And so they gave me some Pitocin, and that didn't help either.
Yeah. I mean, my situation was just really frustrating because they didn't check me before I had the epidural. So I was only checked at 6 a.m. and then at midnight. So it's hard to say what I was at because my contractions were like 2 to 3 minutes apart, like 90 seconds long.
Yeah.
So I felt like I was getting pretty close. But when they checked me at midnight, I was at 7. So I don't know if I was just sitting there or what. But I feel like a doula could help. But then when I heard the pricing, I was like, $1,000? Oh, geez.
I mean, it's a lot of money, but you and Tom both work really hard. And, you know, if you can find it and if it's important to you, then, you know, I would think it's worth it. But, I mean, that's totally you have to decide how much you want the VBAC.
Right. Yeah. Well, I don't want to be going through it because I guess there are more complications that can arise when you labor in a second labor and then you have to have the C-section. And there's more complications, possibly. Oh,
yeah. And it's always harder on you if you have to labor and then go to a C-section. I mean, as we can kind of transition to a little bit right now, like with my birth story this time around, it was much easier for my birth was much easier, much more peaceful because I didn't have to labor first.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, you look, you know, amazing.
I had makeup on. I had blow dried my hair the night before. I think I'd even straightened it.
That's awesome. I was wondering, you looked, yeah, you were just, I mean, it was beyond glowing. I was like, oh my gosh, beautiful.
Mm-hmm. It was a very different, I mean, Dominic's birth was great because I did feel very powerful at the beginning and going through the contractions and sitting on the ball and kind of working through labor for the first half of it. I felt really great. And then, you know, once I got the epidural and it just, you know, that part's all kind of foggy to me. And the birth was great that I getting to see him for the first time and hearing him cry. But this time it was just very peaceful. I went in there
because it was planned.
I think so. Yeah, and I don't know. I don't know if the anesthesiologist gave me a dose of some sort of happy medicine or something because I was just laying there on the table and it was so warm and just happy and just thinking about, oh, you know, I'm going to meet him. They're going to put him on my chest, and it was a very different feeling. The first time I was so tense. I just from laboring for so long, my whole body was just in a knot and I was shaking. And this time I was just like, you know, laying there and I had this heater on me and everybody was not rushed and they were just talking, and you know, it was a very different feeling, although Sean was just as nervous.
I bet you, I mean, just having the people in the room and not going through, you know, having gone through labor and then having people rush in there to give you a C-section also is different. My doctor assured me that an emergency C-section and a planned C-section is way different. People are just a little bit calmer. They take their time. She used the words rip open. I'm like, oh, great.
Yeah,
during an emergency.
Yeah. I think Jennifer and I both ended up with unplanned C-sections, but not necessarily in the, you know, Elle and Dominic, I don't think we're in any danger at that point. Mm-hmm. So they weren't super fast. Like yours, yours does not sound fun.
No.
But no, the planned, this is all sounding much better to me.
Yeah, it's it was, you know, and I if I had had a better shot at going for a VBAC, I probably would have really considered it as much as you are, Jennifer. So I think that you're right in really thinking this out. But I did. I had a really good experience, and being able to do the family center C-section was wonderful. And I'm so thankful to our readers for pointing that out, that was even a possibility. It was my doctor and nurses told me that I was the first person at our hospital to ever ask for it.
Wow. Were they familiar with it?
No. Huh. Yeah. And I think that maybe they had kind of heard about it, but nobody had ever really done it because nobody had asked for it. And I'm planning to write a longer post about it and kind of circulate it within the community here to tell people, look, you know, they're open to this. Mm-hmm. When I mentioned it to my doctor, I thought she was going to say, oh, we can't do that. Insurance will let us do that. It's too risky. It's this or it's that. And she just listened to me and she said, okay, I'll ask the nursery. And she asked the nursery and they said, okay, you know, as long as the baby cries, then sure. So they had to do a few things a little bit differently, but not much.
So they take the baby out, make sure he cries. They clear out like the mucus and stuff or... and then is the cord still connected?
He must have still been connected because it didn't take very long. It's all kind of fuzzy, but it didn't take very long once he cried. I think he was still connected. I think they basically just wrapped him in a few towels or blankets or whatever they are, and after he cried, and then just put him directly on my chest, and then he was there for a few minutes, and then they cut the cord and took him over and weighed him and cleaned him off and everything, and then they took him. And then we took a picture, I think, and then they took him out of the room for his bath and all of that kind of stuff.
Well, I saw the picture of him lying on you, and I was wondering how long after, because he looks brand new.
He's fresh out of the oven. Yeah, he cried, and then I think they wrapped him up and they brought him directly. Or they just kind of squiggled him around. I don't know. That doesn't. Huh? I guess they do that. I mean, if it's a natural birth, they're still connected when they put them on your chest. So
yeah. Yeah, I just didn't know how the cord worked with a C-section, like, how that's any different. I guess maybe it's longer.
I can ask Sean if he remembers if he cut the cord before they put him
on. So Sean cut the cord?
Did
he cut the cord the first time?
Yeah, it was funny. The first time, they kind of did it like the doctor cut the cord to separate the baby from me. Maybe this is what they did. The doctor cut the cord to separate the baby from me, and then Sean made like a secondary cut or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because with Dominic, they had taken him over to this other side of the room, and he cut the cord over there. And then when he was walking back over to me, he made the mistake of looking over and seeing my insides.
Oh, no.
And Sean. A very, very weak stomach, and I cannot believe he didn't hit the floor.
Wow. All the adrenaline pumping. He's a new daddy.
Exactly. He has to lay down to get a shot or he passes out. So.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And then, Natalie, how much help did you have afterwards?
My mom and dad stayed with me for, I think it was about a week, and then... There was a few – then Sean – I think it was me and Sean for about a week. And then Shireen, Sean's sister, came and stayed with me – not stayed with me, but came during the day and stayed with me during the day while Sean was at work for 5 days or something like that. And over this period of time, Noni, Dominic's – Sean's mom would take Dominic here and there at nighttime. So I had a lot of help. I think I wasn't alone. And then we moved 3 weeks after he was born, so my parents were
unbelievable.
Here. So until I think I was 5 weeks, he was 5 weeks old when I was by myself for a whole day with them for the first time.
Got it. I just saw this post on visitors after the baby. So some tips for new parents. I loved it. So
it was
yes, because I'm enlisting 5 weeks of help. So the in-laws, my mom, you know, week of Josh. So I'll have 5 weeks of help and I'll be on my own on week six. And I know, Jennifer, you're also going to have help.
I am. I don't know how much help or when. I'm hoping my parents will be here for 2 weeks. But if the C-section happens, then a week of that, I'll be in the hospital. So they'll be taking care of Elle. And then when I'm home the next week, then I'd be with Elle and my mom and my dad. And then Tom would take the following week when they go away. Yep. And then I don't really know what else I'm going to do. I mean, his mom works full time, so I don't know.
Well, you've got a little bit of time, not too much time because the baby's just around the corner, but some time to plan. I loved these tips from – it was an article in Huffington Post, and I just wanted to share a few of them. Don't let anyone stay with you that you can't cry in front of or tell to shut up.
That's brilliant.
And I'm laughing because the first time around, I think I cried for 2 weeks straight in front of my my mother-in-law in front of my mom. I was just so hormonal. It was just a really hard time. I was like, okay, I can totally relate.
Yeah, I remember walking into the hospital room and they're like, Alex and I like locked eyes and it's like, waterworks.
Yes, and that was just a couple days after. I really like this one. Put them to work. This was so, so important. Family is there. I will, at least when we enlisted help, it wasn't there just to like hold the baby. We needed them to wash dishes, wash bottles, do laundry, go get groceries. We needed them to actually physically help, you know, tidy up, clean the bathroom. And one suggestion, if you're not comfortable asking people to do stuff, is just have a to-do list and have them check the to-do list, which is nice. What else? Did you guys see any that you liked on this list?
I like that there was something about don't ever show up with empty hands. So always, you know, a visitor should always bring food or something.
Yes.
You know, almost everybody brings like a little gift. And I think that's wonderful, but I think food is even better.
Food is huge. I always say
my favorite thing that I got after both babies is one of Sean's cousins sent us edible arrangements. And those are, I don't know, it's pretty and it's delicious.
Yep. And we've talked about this on Mommy Beat. I know Jennifer planned kind of a quote unquote meal train for her sister-in-law. And I've planned a couple of meal trains in my mother's group. And it's basically where people can sign up. Like, you pick dates in advance that you would like meals delivered. People can sign up to come visit. And, you know, make sure just to, whether it's your husband or the person sending out the note, to let people know not to overstay their welcome. Because you are tired.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I loved that. It says go to them, or you know, or go, don't ever have them come to your place if they're going to overstay their welcome. Mm-hmm. My favorite one, I think, was the partner plays the bad cop. Mm-hmm. When they talk about, you know, dad feels kind of useless. Well, he can totally step in on those tricky situations, like the cousin that says, "Oh, I'm just getting over the flu and holding the baby," or you know, And like the relative who has the little kid who's like, "Oh, we just got over our RSV." It's like, yeah, let me just take you over here for a second.
And I like the explanation of that, where everybody thinks a protective dad is cute, but an overprotective mom is just crazy.
I love that. Yeah, totally.
Yep.
I have a question for you guys. I remember I had some visitors in the hospital, and I think, Alex, you guys had a ton of visitors in the hospital.
Oh yeah, we're doing complete opposite this time.
This time
it's only immediate family, and they're not going to be there all day. Last time I just didn't get any rest because there was somebody there for 12 hours a day.
Oh.
And they wanted to hold the baby, they wanted to talk. So I never really rested in the hospital, and even the nurses and doctors said you need to get rest.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, I was so happy. I had a baby. I didn't want to ask them to leave, and I didn't think that was going to hinder my the healing process. And I think 4 days of no rest, because, you know, then you're up at night with a baby, really hindered the healing process. So basically no family members unless my mom and dad and Josh's parents. And then we'll have visitors afterwards when we get home.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. I mean, my memory of my hospital stay was like bliss. It was just so nice. It was like Tom not, you know, being connected to work, me not being connected to work. We had our baby. My mom was there here and there, and Tom's mom, but and most of the time we had Elle with us. The only night she went into the nursery was the first night. We were lucky in that. But I just feel like I got so much rest, and we did have people come. We had you and Josh and Natalie and Sean, but not like an overwhelming number, and no one that was like, okay, you're just here for the day kind of thing. But
right.
I think that's, you know, the smart way to go about it.
Yeah, absolutely. We were immediate family only both times, and I think that was a good choice. It's just, it can get over too overwhelming. And, you know, after a C-section, it took me a couple days to get up the nerve to take a shower, especially the first time. I was terrified of the shower. I thought it was going to hurt.
Yeah.
It was actually the best feeling ever.
It's like going to the bathroom. What's scarier?
Oh, God. Yeah.
Oh, my. Don't even. Oh, I needed an epidural just for that.
Well, it's like, let's put these
stool softeners.
Yeah,
that didn't even work. I told Gas X. I need an epidural now.
You have to pass gas before they let you eat. And you're like, I'm so hungry.
Oh my goodness!
That didn't end up being a big deal for me the first time. That was what I was most worried about the first time, and it ended up not being that big of a deal. And this time, I was miserable. It took forever, and I was so hungry. I can't tell you how many Jell-Os I ate waiting. And they got me like the clear liquid meal, so I had like broth and Jell-O, and just like, I want some food.
Get me some In-N-Out, stat.
Seriously, I think I did have Sean bring me a burger after it finally happened.
Nice. I was thinking like sex, going to the bathroom, and then getting up out of the bed. Probably the top three fears of mine after the whole
thing. I was really afraid of having my staples out the first time. And that didn't hurt at all the first time, but it did hurt a little bit this time.
Hmm.
Yeah, so I guess you never really know. There was one sticky one this time.
And you had this pain in your shoulder, you mentioned.
Oh, yeah. So this was something that I had never, ever heard about. And it hurt, but it was more annoying than anything. So basically, I felt like I had this like weird ache in my shoulder blade starting the night after the birth. And what I finally figured, so if I laid down for more than 20 minutes, it was kind of, I couldn't lay down for more than 20 minutes. It was just too uncomfortable. So basically, I didn't get any sleep for the entire time I was in the hospital because I couldn't lay down. So what they said that it was is that while you're open on the operating table, gas, like air, I guess, can get inside your body and can get trapped in your body. So basically, there was a little air pocket in my shoulder that just wouldn't dissipate. And the only thing that you can do is wait for it to go away. And eventually it did, but it probably took about a week for it to be completely gone. And I cried. I just would say, please, is there anything you can give to me? I can't sleep. I'm exhausted. So that was definitely the worst part of my recovery this time, except for one day when there was an awful nurse the only bad nurse I had the whole time who didn't stay on top of my pain medication. And Sean, who is a very gentle creature, got very angry with her.
Well, he's very protective of you. Yes. And that brings out that
yes,
it was, side of him.
I was very proud of him for sticking up for me, but in a nice way.
Of course, yeah.
It's very polite, but she got what was coming to her.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that's so hard because, you know, here you are planning that the baby's going to keep you up every 20 minutes. And then when he's not, you just want to rest.
He was sleeping next to me. He slept next to me pretty much the whole time. And that was wonderful, but I couldn't get any sleep. So I just kind of laid there. Aww. And Sean was over in the corner sleeping in his super uncomfortable bed. And I was just kind of, okay. But it ended up being fine and it went away eventually. But just a word to the wise, it's a possible thing that can happen and there's nothing you can do.
Good to know.
I was Googling on my phone. I was like, can you try giving me this? That's gonna
Yeah. Maybe we should open me back up again and see if the air will come
out. Can you like puncture me with a syringe or something?
Well, we're glad that you are up and feeling great and there weren't any complications.
Yep. Nope. We're good. I'm doing great now. So I think, you know, it's a really personal decision and I'm glad, Alex, that you feel good about the decision you made. And I'm excited, Jennifer, to see what you decide to do.
Me too. I'll let you know when I figure it out.
All right. You do keep in mind those top 10 tips for having your new visitors for your sweet little baby. Don't let anybody walk all over you.
Oh yeah, no, I won't.
You never would.
I just have Tom here, so I'll just have to have that side come out of him.
That's true. All right, everybody. Thank you for joining us today. And we look forward to hearing more birth stories from Jennifer and Alex in the next couple of months. And if you have a birth story or something else you'd like to share with us at Mommy Beta, you can email us at mb@mommybeta.com or send us a message on Facebook and Twitter. Take care, everybody. And thanks for being with us today.
Happy New Year.
New Year.